This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Welcome back, Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. I'm very excited for this. This has been in the works for a while. The very handsome and talented Darnay Tripp is about to join us. Is he on Zoom right now?
He is.
Oh, look at this guy. Let's welcome to the program.
There he is.
The one, the only, fellow Manny Machado appreciator for NBC San Diego, one of Ben's main competitors in the sports anchor world, Darnay Tripp. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning to you guys. Always excited when I get the invite. Happy to be with you anytime. And I just enjoy it just a little bit more knowing that Ben is even just slightly annoyed that I'm on here with you guys at the moment.
Honestly, like, we all have those people in media where we're like, man, kind of, he intimidates me or whatever. And I think for Ben, you're the one, because we always pump you up so much. He's like, I'm pretty good too, guys. Like, I'm good at what I do. And of course, Ben is great at what he does, and he's such a diligent dude. But it's nice. I do it to kind of take the piss out of Ben a little bit, but also because I'm a huge Darnay Tripp fan. So, like, don't tell me what I can do when you're gone on a vacation.
Yeah, you know, exactly. I agree.
How's everything, buddy? Well,
we're good. Good. I appreciate you guys as always. And, it's just, you know, fun time of year. Excited for the All-Star break, you know, nice to have kind of like a reset. Glad that the Padres played well going into it. Lots going on, you know, San Diego FC playing well. You know, it's been, I feel like a fun year. I think we're always kind of maybe a little bit selfish wanting more out of the Padres, but I think it's been a fun year in sports in general. And just excited to chat about it with you guys.
Now, you're a Philly guy originally. You're from that area. How long you been out in San Diego again?
It's going on. It'll be 7 years this fall in San Diego, which is crazy. I mean, as you guys know, it's like you get a new job or end up in a new place, and it feels like you take a while to kind of get your legs under you, and you blink, and it's been like 5 years. And So I kind of feel like that's been the experience for me, but it's the first place I've lived in. It's like you try and like really connect with everywhere you go, but this is the first place where I'm like, oh yeah, this is home. This is a place where I could see myself forever. I mean, it's San Diego. I think a lot of people have an experience. If they're here for a weekend, they're like, yeah, I could be in San Diego forever. But truly, once I was here, I was like, yeah, this feels like my place.
You know, it's funny too, because I used to romanticize every place I'd visit. I would visit Wichita and be like, you know what? I would crush it here. Like, this, I could actually do really.
You would.
Yeah, I would actually in Wichita. I would murder it. But this is the place, the same thing, man. I got here and was like, I'm never leaving. Like, you're going to have to pry this place from my cold, dead hands. But I will say this, man. We got our chance to go to Philly a couple weeks ago. We had the most epic time. It has some of the best food I've ever had. The people were actually great. I loved the arrogant fans. I thought they were awesome. They were cool.
Everybody was really cool.
Everybody
like,
was cool.
Like, I had a buddy.
He didn't feel threatened.
He was
or
like,
anything.
Oh, like, did you get any like Philly jerks? I'm like, no, like not
no.
one.
They were awesome. And they're knowledgeable, man. They're knowledgeable. And I think that there's, for me, like, the Dodger fan is just seems very casual. The Philly fan is not casual. They'll still talk smack, but they know the game. Like, they're not just there to, like, you know, beat up their fellow fans and you know, yell and scream and throw beers on the field. Like, they're a knowledgeable fan base. I found that really, really exciting.
Yeah. And look, I mean, you guys know how to handle yourself, I think, when you're in enemy territory as well. So I think that goes along with it. I think some people get themselves in trouble by going to Philly and saying, okay, I'm going to stick it to these Philly fans. It doesn't typically work out the way maybe you had envisioned. But yeah, I think that's one thing I've appreciated about, you know, fans from my hometown. And you can go through the history. I think often about, and it was a really touching scene when Tony Gwynn passed away and Tony Gwynn Jr. stepped to the plate in Philadelphia.
Incredible.
Received a standing ovation. I believe it was his first game back. And, you know, if it's all time, Dwayne Wade and Kobe Bryant, their last time in Philly, great Philly athletes when they come back, you often see just a really warm ovation and a cool moment, and maybe some of the tough history put aside, because fans in that city understand the stature of these athletes and what they mean to the city and to the game as a whole. And so I'm glad you guys had that experience. I'm always like a little bit worried when there's people that I know and that I care about that are going to Philly. I'm like, man, I hope they have a good time and things go well for them. And I will say, like, first time my wife visited, she was like, I really enjoy this city. And we went a couple times, and granted, it was often during the holidays, but we were walking around the city one time. I think a guy opened the door for her, and she turned and looked at me and said, "People in Philly are really nice." And I was like, "It's the first time anybody's ever said that to me." But there is kind of a warmth there that you can get to if you give it a chance. I'm glad you guys did and had a good time.
Had a great time talking to our pal Darnay Tripp here on Ben and Woods this morning, live on Zoom. The other thing that always impresses me about you is you are the father of twins. Is that right? Twins, not triplets.
Well, goodness,
no,
twins.
No.
And just twins.
How old are your babies now?
They're just past 2.5. So yeah, we are, we are in it.
just wait. Like, you think you got this part licked, and then
no, we don't.
No, okay. Yeah, fair. I mean, it's double the fun. How difficult is it for you with your gig, right? And you know, we sometimes lament, man, we don't have the four major sports teams here. So we're lacking this content. Honestly, the more I spend in places like Philly, I'm like, I'm glad we just have the Aztecs and the Padres and SDFC, because
can you imagine, as much as crazy as the Padres make you feel sometimes,
correct, doing
now
it year round,
multiply it by
forget
four,
it.
It's all year round, it never ends.
Forget it. I'm happy doing it. But with your gig and having two small kids and, you know, having to be at games and having to cover stuff, how's that gig work for you?
Yeah, it's good. It's funny, you know, thinking of Philly, like my counterpart for NBC in Philly, a guy by the name of John Clark, and he is on it. He is everywhere. I don't know where he finds the time to do all these things with four major sports. And so I think about that all the time, and it is a handful. I mean, I think, like, as I'm sure you've experienced, even just like getting married, you've realized, all right, I got to kind of find a good balance
yes.
here. You know what I mean? I'm going to have to say no to some things that I maybe would not have in the past. And so that's even more so when you have kids. Laura's great. Her mom helps us. We have help. We couldn't do it without, you know.
Yeah, takes a village.
An extra set of hands or two. And so that makes it possible. But yeah, it's just kind of picking our spots, saying no when I need to say no. You know, having the Padres game on my phone while we're out for a walk or
yep.
while the kids shows are on TV, that sort of thing. Just sneaking it in while you can, stay on top of it while you can. But it's fun. And I think one of the things, you know, we haven't really done yet that I'm excited about, we've been talking about going to a game, like whether it's a Padres game, San Diego FC, Wave, just like take them out and getting them in that environment. We haven't done that yet. And it's something I want to do this year, this summer, maybe in the fall. I know you've done it a ton.
Yeah.
And so I'm excited to kind of expose them to like my experience a bit as well.
Well, you do such a great job covering the team every single day, Darnay. I always appreciate the work that you put in. What is your kind of assessment? I mean, I just played the Hacksaw audio. He thinks that they are underachieving. I do disagree with that, and it's not just because it's Hacksaw. It's because I disagree with it. I look at what's happened to this team with no Yu Darvish, no Michael King. You know, like the Jason Hayward, Yuli Gurriel getting ABs, the catching lack of production. I'm like, how could you look at this and say they're underachieving? Like, I kind of think they're playing a little bit over their skis at times.
I think in some respects, yes. I think when you consider kind of some of the slumps offensively, you know, Xander had a stretch. He's been really good now for like the last month. Tatis had the worst month of his life.
Merrill too. Yep.
Gradually come out of it. Merrill, there's been injuries as well. I think, you know, it's easy to point to what's happened with the lineup and feel like, all right, there's been a lot of meat on the bone, you know.
Yeah.
That, you know, they haven't kind of gotten as much. We haven't gotten as much of the lineup as maybe they should have to this point. And so that's where I feel like, okay, maybe they've underachieved from that standpoint. You make great points. You know, aside from those guys being gone, just the level of productivity they've gotten from Vasquez, Kolek, Bergert, as good as those guys have been, because there's a lot of starts in there that could have gotten sideways.
No doubt.
Where's this team? And the bullpen, you know, even when they scuffled a little bit, they've rallied and tightened things up again. And so I think all told, you know, maybe you would have hoped things would be a little bit better. But again, sitting here, what, 9 games above 500?
Yeah, eight right now.
8 games, wild card
spot.
Yeah,
66 games to go. I mean, I remember last year it was win one, lose one. And we got in that stretch. We broke the cycle, you know, over the weekend by getting the win on Friday. Again, I'm not coming in here beating my chest because I certainly, when we left the show here Friday, man, you had 3 guys that were all just crossing their fingers and going, oh, no. This could get really squirrely.
I was hoping to get one.
I mean, like, please God, scratch out one positive win. And I think, you know, that speaks to the fact that they don't instill a lot of confidence in you. But you do know they have played so many close games, and they've won so many close games. You talk about meat on the bone. Yes, they have left a ton of guys on base. They have absolutely been pitiful with runners in scoring position at times. And yet, here they sit, ready to go. And you look at this and you go, man, that's a really battle-tested team. And you know, I know the record against teams better than 500, you know, has not been great. They can clean that up. They're better than what they've shown. So maybe they have underachieved. I don't know. But I look at it.
It's all just how you view it.
Like, yeah, this could have gone so sideways for this team. So sideways. You know, if the bullpen had been a clunker and Kolek had been a total disaster and Berger had been a total disaster, this team could be, no BS, 10, 15 games below 500 right now. In the spirit of baseball and how it usually works, they absolutely could be 10 to 15 games below 500.
No doubt. There are definitely points in the season where things could have gotten away from them. And I think, you know, I feel like I've sort of been kind of biding my time until the deadline to even really truly evaluate them a little bit, because it's been so obvious that there are holes to fill.
Right.
And it's just been like getting by without any sort of productivity from the catcher, getting by with really spotty productivity from the DH, whatever you can get from left field, especially if it's on a day where it's not Gavin Sheets. And so I think just knowing that, I've kind of been like, if they can just survive, stay in touch, you know, hopefully with the Dodgers and certainly with the wild card, see where they're at and see what this lineup looks like in early August, and then let it ride, see what happens from there. I think they've been a little bit tough to evaluate just because, unless this really is what it is, unless somehow we get to the deadline and AJ Preller just doesn't do anything, which seems unthinkable, like there's going to be upgrades and additions of some sort. To what degree, we don't know. And I think at that point, you'd be like, wait, what is this team all about? And we can have an idea of kind of like what they're going to look like going forward. But those holes have been so glaring that there's a little bit of me that's like, I don't know how much I'm like, what is it worth evaluating them? Because we know it's going to look different once crunch time rolls around.
Yeah, honestly, I think we're talking to Darnay Tripp here on Ben and Woods this morning. And honestly, I think that's such a good point. You now have a couple of weeks till the trade deadline. You know, AJ Preller wants to be very active. It does take two to tango, as we always say, maybe three, maybe a 3-team deal is in the cards, or a couple of those. But this is where I think now we as a show, we as a fan base, we got 66 games left. This is where, like, they got to where they needed to be. They got to the break, a much deserved break for the guys. You know, we're sending 5 All-Stars to Atlanta. Atlanta, right? Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was sending 5 All-Stars to Atlanta, and I'm going, I kind of wish all of them were staying home to rest. I really do, because we need such big, big performances from all 5 of those guys down the stretch. No, like, I don't want to see Jason Adam touch a baseball in Atlanta.
Right.
Not even a little. Like, I'm faking a hamstring. Like, let them call my name. I got my All-Star bonus. I got my jersey, my hat. I'm an All-Star. Mm-hmm. Don't ask me to throw. If I'm Robert Suarez, don't ask me to throw. If I'm Manny Machado, who's standing on third yesterday after one of the most brilliant catches I've ever seen in my life that he ran 100 yards for, sliding into the wall, he's standing on third, shaking his leg.
Yep.
I'm like, please, God, one AB, one inning in the field, get him out of there. You know, now I don't trust their manager, Darnay, not even a little bit. I'm expecting Adam to go 4 on Tuesday night. So I just don't I don't trust Dave Roberts to manage this thing the right way. But
why, man, is that, Woodsy?
I mean, come on, look who we're talking
Manny's
about.
Manny's playing
here.
All nine.
Yeah, Manny goes all nine in the field. I'm telling you, man.
Calls for a steal.
Right. I don't like it. I'll tell you, man. It does say something about the caliber of those players, man, that they're all going to be representing our team. And, you know, we got 66 games. Now is where you can evaluate. Once you see what this lineup's going to look like after the 31st, that's when you can really drill down. Then they will underachieve. Then they will overachieve. They've done exactly, in my opinion, what they needed to do to this point today.
Yeah, all great points. And, you know, you feel great. You mentioned just the all-star, the representation, like, great for Adrian Morihone.
Yes,
like, that 100%. Was the guy that everybody was like, okay, he should be there. What a cool experience for him, given, like, his road and Jason Adam as well. And, like, even, like, when Tatis made the all-star game, I was like, home run derby, let's go. And at that point, he was still scuffling a little bit more. Now he's found some rhythm. But then you find out about, like, he's like, I'm not going to do it. I got an oblique. You're like, goodness.
You
know,
you.
It's like,
thank
you think, you. Well, at least Fernando's healthy, right? Well, even he, and as Manny likes to say, nobody's ever 100% after day one of spring training or whatever it is. But you're absolutely right. Like, let's hope for just like an easy, smooth, light workload this week so that they can be kind of refreshed and recharged going into the second half. And like, hopefully there's more of this Mike Schilt's second half magic, whatever it is. Like, Padres were on the wrong end of it in 2021 during their collapse. And we remember that September series, I believe it was in St. Louis.
Yep.
And we're like, oh my goodness, what is happening? And then obviously what happened last year, this team where we were probably felt worse last year, because at least in the beginning of this season, we saw what it could be.
Correct.
Right out of the gates.
Yep.
Like, okay, this team is the real deal. And then they kind of spin their wheels for a little bit. They were spinning their wheels the first 3 months, 4 months of the season last year, and then hit their stride. And so there's always that bit of kind of Mike Shield optimism. Like, what's he going to do? What's he going to tap into with this group to kind of get them in gear, get them to reach their ceiling and put themselves in position where, like, it's low stress. We know this team is in once mid-September rolls around.
No doubt. Darnay, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk to you about another reason why it's very, very important that the Padres continue to win in the second half. And you are actually wearing, what is that? Is that an SDFC hat? Or is that a wave hat? That's a wave hat.
Wave.
That's a wave hat. Well, I want to talk about SDFC and what they've done in this market. And I want to talk about why it's a big reason why the Padres need to keep rolling right now, because there's another team that's kind of captured some hearts and minds in San Diego, and it's very rare for us to have two teams like that. But we'll talk to Darnay Tripp about that. Hang on with us. We'll be right back. It's Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Fun first hour and a half here on Ben and Woods on a Monday. Took the series from the Philadelphia Phillies. Needed it badly going into the break. Again, 8 games over .500. Joined this morning by a very special guest, another one of Ben's competitors, Darnay Tripp from NBC7. Darnay, thank you for spending some time with your old pals Ben and Woods this morning. You're looking good, man. You look great. The beard looks good. You're sitting outside. I mean, it's pretty elite content this morning.
I appreciate you guys. Again, San Diego, you know, I've lived in places where, what time is it? You know,
yeah,
7:30
in the morning, probably wouldn't be outside.
I know.
Just hanging out. So this is nice. Appreciate the kind words and always psyched when I get an invite.
Well, let's talk about the reason that the other reason, obviously, because we'll all lose our minds if the Padres don't go on a run in the second half, and my hair will go more gray, put on more weight, you know, just general malaise for this city that is just so starved for a winner, Darnay. They're just starved for it, and nobody deserves it more, honestly. Like, I when I look across sports, you know, across the country, I go, man, San Diego needs one, and, you know, needs to be a World Series trophy. But if it's not, that other team here that has made its mark, SDFC, buddy, when you can get the most casual of fans, like myself, to go, all right, Padres are stinking it up, I'm going to turn on the SDFC game, you've really done something. And I think it starts at the top with Mikey Varas, who is just the greatest. He is just the greatest. I think he's so talented. They won again over the weekend, 2-1 up in Chicago, and they just continue to really capture this city. And I know you've had a blast covering them as well.
Yeah, it's been cool. And, you know, it is funny, like, one of the gauges for like just overall general interest is like you're watching a match, something happens, and like activity on Twitter, right?
Oh yeah.
And it's been cool this season. I'm like, hey, Woodsy's tweeting about SDFC. You know, like just different people in different corners. Like there's the soccer diehards. You guys have D. Smith on.
Oh yeah.
Like, you know,
Craig Elston's coming on.
Yeah. Tony, the San Diego football crew, like, you know, they're going to be in. But like other folks that are just kind of your general San Diego sports fan, or folks that you know from Padres Twitter that are locked in, typically in the Padres, that are, you know, now engaging with San Diego FC. And that's been really, really cool to see. And yeah, to your point, you know, when Mikey got the job, you know, I talked to him, he said, admittedly, I was a brave hire. Like, nobody necessarily knew who Mikey Barris was. No head coaching experience. He'd been with the national team, which gave him some cachet, but you didn't really know what you're going to get from Mikey Barris. Again, especially for those of us that have, you know, followed soccer more casually. And he comes in and he's great to talk to.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
an inspiring guy.
100%.
He's great. Yeah, he's great in this setting. And they've instilled this identity. And the funny thing was, like, you hear a team talk about, like, we're going to have an identity. And again, as a soccer casual, you're like, oh, no.
Oh, here we go.
Is this something you're going to have to really sell on us? Like, you're going to have to convince us that this is really, like, a great brand of soccer? And the answer is no. They want to score goals. They want to win games. You're going to get anybody on your side by doing that. And there's been a number of instances. They've done it on the road time and time again where tie game, you could throttle back, take your point, move on. Like, no, forget that. We want to win. We want to add to it. And I think that's what's made it really fun and I think compelling to the city. Because, again, you're going to have your soccer diehards. And then you have folks that just want something to do and want to be part of something else is, you know, along with the Padres. And it's easy to capture people when you want to score goals, you want to be entertaining, and you want to win games.
No question. And you know, the trifecta of really what we have here with SDFC, the San Diego Padres, and the San Diego State Aztecs basketball team, I'll be honest. I mean, those three are essentially must watch. And I think everybody in charge has done a really good job at making it so over the last 6-7 years, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, and obviously with SDFC, this just being their first year, but I mean, they're leading the table right now. It's just incredible to see. And obviously Aztec season's around the corner. Paulie, Aztec for life, salivating. I mean, Ben too. And me, who again, very casual fan, I watched every single game last year, like waiting to tune in. And
it's different when you watch it over the course of the season, right? The highs and the lows, yeah. The roller coaster, as opposed to the casual, you're going to wait until the March Madness right. tournament and then just see what, and oh, that was crazy. That was a crazy
game.
That
was nuts. Great that shot, Lamont.
But when you watch it, you're like, yeah, like, and then to see who they've got coming out this year, you're like, all right, I cannot wait. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, it really is fun. I mean, there's a lot to look forward to in San Diego sports over the next 6 months. And you don't often get to say that, darn it.
Yeah. And, you know, as far as the Aztecs go, like, you know, it's rare to have a collection coming back the way that they do. And even rare still, like, these days. And I think that, like, I've heard from so many San Diego State fans that are like, I just don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I can really engage with the program or college basketball, period, in the same way, college football, even, because of that, like, revolving door. And I think after last year, they lose a few guys, and you're just, like, going to every offseason. Obviously, Magoon and Miles Byrd. You know, they lose Nick Boyd, but you're like, man, like, are they going to have to start from scratch every single year? And I'm going to have to get to know these guys again every single year and hope for the best. No, like, you, all these guys make their commitment. They want to come back and be part of something special. It's a great program. And I think that's, like, there's so much consternation about NIL and the transfer portal. Like, you still have to have a program. And, like, I think that means something. And I think that that's kind of been one of the lessons this offseason with San Diego. It's built a program, and that's going to pay off in some ways. And we've seen that happen this offseason, and I can't wait. I mean, basketball has always been maybe my favorite sport. And so I'm very much looking forward to it, just period, because it's San Diego State, but because of the talent that they have coming back and the possibility of what they could achieve.
Well, and listen, man, Mike Schilt, you know, does he make decisions that you don't agree with? Absolutely. Every single manager does. But he has also built a culture. There is a culture there. This team, good, bad, ugly, whatever, they are together. And that's not something you could always say about the San Diego Padres, even in the time, the short time, 7-8 years that we've covered them. They were not always a together team. They are now, win or lose, they are. Brian Dutcher has built that. And Mikey Varis has built that with SDFC. So the future, dare I say, bright in San Diego sports. Hopefully, Darnay, you are around to be a huge part of it for the rest of your career. We appreciate your time this morning, man. Thank you so much for hopping on. You were amazing. And, yeah, if I'm Ben, I'm a little nervous today. I'll tell you. If I'm a little nervous. He's on the golf course right now, so he does not have a care,
Darnay,
in the world.
I know, 6 a.m., it's early, but you get used to it.
Yeah, you could, I mean, in a pinch, like, Darnay and Woods, Tripp and Woods. Maybe I get top billing for once in my career. Woods and Darnay. Should. I should at some point.
Yeah, yeah.
But, dude, you're the man. Thank you so much. Keep up the very informative tweets that I steal for my own content the very next morning. So don't stop that.
Take whatever you want.
I will.
Mean, look, it's all out there on the internet. Who does it really belong to at the end of the day?
Fair enough. I will try to give credit where credit is due. Darnay Tripp, everybody from NBC7.
Thanks, Darnay.
Give him a watch and a follow. Thanks, brother.
Appreciate you guys.
All right, we will be back. Speaking, we have another guest. I mean, we're loaded today. Excited to get Craig Elston's take on everything going on with the Padres, what he thinks that we're going to do at the deadline. Longtime friend of the program, Craig Elston will join us next right here on Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Welcome back. Happy Monday, Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Having a blast in here this morning with my man, Paulie. Ben will be back tomorrow from Santa Barbara, I'm sure, with just loads of stories of all the delicious food he ate. He did send us some pictures over the weekend.
Finally sent us some pictures.
Yeah, we can put those up in the reset at 8. But right now I want to get out to Craig Elston. As soon as we check traffic, I want to talk to him about SDFC. And I need him to make me feel better about Milan Ilošević not playing. And I know the reason behind it, but I need him to make us all feel better about that. And of course, talking about the Padres and where they stand here at the All-Star break. We'll be right back with Craig after traffic. And joining us now, as he does every Monday, is our pal and your pal, Craig Elston. Good morning, my friend.
Morning, Paul. Great to see you guys. Hope you had a wonderful weekend.
We did, man. We did. I mean, that taking that series, Craig. I was telling Darnay, we walked out the door Friday looking at each other going, oh, God, please get one. Please get one. And they didn't just get one. They gave us a little extra. They got two and probably should have had three.
Well, I'll tell you what. Saturday's win was, to me, top three, not the win of the year.
Oh, yeah. No question.
Right? I mean, you've got Wheeler on the bump. Darvish is flagging. You take a lead, you lose a lead. Merrill hits a bomb. Merrill hits another bomb. And then Manny comes up with the big sack fly at the exact right moment. Horsemen lock it down. A beautiful, beautiful game. 8 games over .500 at the break. Let's just remember they were 1 game over .500 at the break last year.
Yep.
They were 50-49 and they lost their first game coming out of the break to fall to 50-50. So it's a better situation. But we all know the writing is on the wall in blood right now and neon paint. Like, the offense must improve. King must get back. Darvish needs to round into form. The four horsemen need a chance to be in the stable every once in a while.
Right.
These horses are running free
every
single day, and you can't ride a horse every day.
You just
can't. They will break down.
You can't, man. You can't do it. And as brilliant as those guys have been, you know, we're all sitting here waiting for the other shoe to drop. And we've seen some shoes drop a little bit here and there, and which is not uncommon in a bullpen. Bullpens can be very volatile. But as far as the San Diego Padres bullpen, it's been the second least volatile bullpen in baseball. And that makes me very happy. We are nowhere near this record without that.
Bro, did you see some of the stats
effort
on the screen when we played the Diamondbacks last week and how bad their bullpen has been?
Yes.
How many losses they've had after 3-run leads?
Yeah.
And you're just like,
can't relate.
Can't relate. I remember those days.
Yeah.
But we cannot relate right now.
Let me ask you too, Craig, about, because I saw some mixed reviews as I normally do. Let me ask you, who's a baseball mind I really trust and appreciate. What did you think of Yu Darvish's start? Because I was not as up in arms about Schilt leaving him in. Yu Darvish really appreciated that. He said it after the game. I thought it was the right move based on who you had left, right? And I thought, okay, like, if anybody's earned that, I think it's him. Didn't work out, which it happens. But I was encouraged, and I have been encouraged by you.
Yes, and I lean far more to your side of it, Woodsy. I thought, and we talked about it on Saturday's Padres Hot Tub postgame show, you know, was he left in one hitter too long? I think objectively or empirically, you could say, sure, he was because he gave up the hit. But you need you, Darvish, to be a pitcher that finishes tough innings yes. for you down the stretch. So he's not a shrinking violet.
Right.
And nor is he a rookie like a Ryan Burgert where you just go, you know what? Him or Vasquez, I'm just going to pull the plug
Correct.
Right here. I want to stop it before it gets worse. You've got to ride you. So, yeah, no, I have no problem with the decision. It was only pushing him to 80 pitches. You will tell Shilton Niebla if he can't do that. So the fact that he wanted to do it, it's just a step toward getting to the good you that we need. And that's the bottom line, Woodsy, is the you we've seen has had flashes of good and also flashes of hittability. We need the good side, and hopefully a couple more starts, it'll be there.
Yeah, velo looks good, Craig. Spinning it pretty well. I mean, obviously, like the unforced errors, I guess the forced errors, he threw the ball away, cost himself a run. Again, it's a little bit rusty right now, and that's to be expected, but very encouraged. And really, the most important thing was not the start. It was how did you feel when he woke up? And by all accounts, he's back and feeling really, really good. Obviously, Craig, you know, I was just talking to Darnay about this. We got 66 games to go. This is where it's time to drill down. This is where you can fully evaluate a team. It's after the deadline. That's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to see how it plays out the next 2 weeks before the deadline. Once the final roster is in place, then it's, all right, guys, time to get it together. And I expect AJ to be very active. I do. I expect him to buy, and I expect him to buy and be very, very active at the deadline.
I think he has to in order for this team to get to where it wants to get. And I'm going to say the same thing I said on these airwaves, you know, for months and over a year. I don't want to see that come at the expense of Ethan Salas.
Yeah.
And I understand for everyone in the fan base going, hey, he's a long way away. He's had a back injury. You know, he hasn't really hit the last year or two. What are we worried about? What are we thinking? Just move him on. We need help now. He's 18 on 19. He's 18 on 19. Yadi Molina didn't show up to the big leagues till he was 21, and he didn't hit for squat until he was 25.
Yeah.
And he's a Hall of Fame player. And I'm not saying Ethan Salas is Yadier Molina. I'm saying that he is one of the youngest catchers who's had the most hype since. So why would you risk that just to get a couple years of an outfielder or something along those lines? I feel like there's lower cost ways that the Padres can get to where they can get. And here's a thing important to note, Woodsy. The Padres did something really important over the last month and a half. They proved that Gavin Sheets can handle left field. He's not a complete tank out there. And they've proven that he can hit left-handed pitching at least for average
yeah.
and not fall apart when lefties are on the mound. So in one way, you've kind of solved your left field problem. You can switch your focus and look at catcher. You could look at designated hitter. And those could be ways that you improve the team while leaving Sheets in left field as opposed to just getting a left fielder. So I do think there's some optionality. But I also think if you don't get a bullpen arm, you can pretty much count on at least one of the four horsemen going on the injured list before the end of the year because they're just being driven to pitch almost two out of every 3 days.
What do you do at first base? I love Luis Arraez. He had a horrible, horrible series. And not just with the bat, with the glove as well.
Horrible.
I mean, it was just like, it's – and I do love the guy. I know they love the guy. I love the baseball player. Where does he fit? Where does he play? I don't know, man. Like, I'm not over him by any stretch at all. I still trust him immensely. He does weird stuff, though. He does. He does weird stuff on a baseball field from time to time, Gregor. And I think you got to look at that. I think you got to look at maybe upgrading there as well at first base.
Look, he, by every defensive metric, if he's not the worst first baseman defensively in the league, he's bottom three. And, you know, like you said, we kind of we love him for his energy.
Yeah.
We love him for his spirit. We love when he gets base hits. Luis Arraez is having the worst year of his career.
Correct.
There's just no way around it. And the one thing I will say, and I'm not sure if we've talked about it in past weeks or not, but the move to push him down the lineup was a very smart move.
Very much so.
And putting him back at two is a very bad move.
Yes.
Because the way Luis Arraez is hitting, he's hitting way too many fly balls.
Yes.
Out of the number two spot. And he's got to take the bunt out of his game.
Got to.
It's just wrong.
He's got to do it.
It's objectively wrong.
Yeah, always.
What the Padres have been doing. Did you know, by the way, the Padres lead Major League Baseball in sacrifice bunt attempts this year? That's the wrong stat to lead the league in.
It is.
By a mile, okay? We've got three more than the second place team, and those three came yesterday. And the one that came in the ninth helped the Phillies navigate through the inning by giving them a free pass to walk Fernando Tatis Jr.
Yeah.
I understand it, but it's a huge mistake. And I'm sorry to get off of line, but I'll tell you, last night we had a great Padres Hot Tub podcast with Justin Halperin, the showrunner of Abbott Elementary, huge Padres fan.
Nice.
And we had our first annual Daddy Awards, and one of them was Daddy Issues. Which Padre do you have the most issues with? And mine went to Arraez. It really did. I mean, I understand the other guys who have struggled and had issues this year. Dylan Cease probably number one on that list.
Yep.
But Luis is just not playing the way he's supposed to play.
Correct.
And as he plays like that, he hurts the team. So I want to see him hitting fifth.
Yeah.
Coming back from the break. I don't even like the four spot, but I do like that when he went to the four spot and he came up with runners on base, he was focusing on line drives, and his average there has been great. In the two spot, how many can of corn flyouts to left field do we need to see before Homie starts working on shaving it down and getting that line drive going again? It's pretty frustrating.
I couldn't agree more. Talking to Craig Elston here on Ben and Woods, let's switch gears to STFC. Another beautiful, beautiful win. Anders Dreyer with another two goals, a brace, as I've learned. Just yes. Brilliant. I think it's the third or fourth brace this season. Now, the thing that and I think a lot of STFC fans is the story behind Milan Ilošević. Now, can you make us feel any better? Will he be coming back? I know he's on loan. Do we have the money to pay him? Do we need to start a GoFundMe? He's the goal scoring wonderkin from Escondido. Like, this is the kid we need, Craig, as much as we need any of these other guys.
So, Ilošević.
Oh, I'm sorry. What did I say? Ilošević?
Yeah, it's watching? Okay. Ilošević is unavailable.
That's right.
We're never getting him back.
Ilošević,
though, I'm really focused on, and I do agree. You know, this shocked me. Shocked me, Woodsy, because seeing him not play on Saturday, and again, Mr. Podcast Promoter, but my SDFC podcast, Cremaniacs, with Tony Sanchez and Alex Pena, we're now doing post-match shows as well. So we had a post-match show. We were on. We were talking through it. And we hadn't heard Mikey Varez's comments yet. And so I'm going, okay, this was a rest rotation for Ilošević because they have a match Wednesday. They have a match Saturday this week. All right. You put Angel in. You're going to give Ilošević the burn on Wednesday at home.
Yeah.
Great. And then Varez is asked by our friends Tony Sanchez and Chiva at San Diego Punto Football, what's up with Ilošević? And his answer is, well, he hasn't come to terms. You know, he's on loan. He hasn't come to terms on a new deal. I'm going to focus on the players who are going to be here. This is the literally the first time all year I've heard something from Mikey Varez, who I love and respect,
yeah,
that I thought was disingenuous.
Really?
That I thought didn't sound on the level. Because really, you're going to cut off your nose to spite your face? Ilošević is clearly the best nine on this team. He is 100% the best striker. And even if you told me 1,000,000,000% he's going back to Denmark at the end of the month, there's matches between here and there.
Squeeze everything you can out of him. It's like Dylan right. Cease. Like, give me, you know, like, you're here for now. I'm going to throw you every fifth day. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, could you imagine if Shilty goes, well, you know, we don't have a contract.
He may be leaving in the offseason, and he's not pitching that well, so we're just going to skip his turn. No, you go out there and you hope for the best, in my opinion. Only got a couple minutes left, Craig. But again, another huge win. They got two games this week, both back at home. So want to keep this thing rolling for SDFC.
Absolutely. And to keep it rolling for the full year, you need to keep Olasky in the fold. So here's what I really think happened. From what I've heard in the days since, a couple of sources have let me know that Olasky is asking for a good amount of money to stick around, and that it's more his side than the FC Nordsjælland side pushing the negotiation. So this might be a little bit of a bluff on Olasky's part, trying to get as much as he can, but knowing in the end he's probably going to sign and not go back to a way worse situation going back to Denmark to play when he is a San Diegan succeeding in MLS. So the, you know, these clubs are sister clubs. I expect something to happen. But to see this play out publicly and to see Olasky not in the lineup, really, honestly, about the first disappointing thing other than a fight in the stands that I've seen from SDFC all year long, and I really hope it's resolved.
Yeah, interesting strategy, interesting comments. I think, you know, even though I butchered his, who is Milan Ilosevic? Isn't that someone?
Ilosevic is someone. I think he directed a movie in the 1970s.
Was, like was he like a dictator? I'll look it up.
He's a catcher for Fort Wayne.
I wonder if he can hit Milan Ilosevic. Thank you, Craig. It's been a long weekend, but appreciate your time as usual, brother. Thank you.
Absolutely. Talk to you next Monday.
Later, brother.
See you,
Craig. Man, yeah, Ilosky. I don't know why I said that.
And when I heard it, I was it didn't sound right, but no, I also didn't have it on the top of my head to correct you.
I mean, it's not like I don't. I tell you I'm a casual. I tell you. I'm not pretending to be an expert, because I'm not. Just blew the guy's name. We can talk. Oh, dude, I got a story for you guys. Parenting fail coming up next. Adam Woods.